to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 12, 2018, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
In our scriptures today, there is a word which jumped out at me, and no, it's not bread, although we're in the middle of a whole series of gospel readings about the bread of heaven. No, the word that jumped out at me is the word complain. It's one of my favorite words because I can always find a reason to complain. Think of all the things that we can complain about. We can complain about the weather. We can complain about the government. We can complain about our families. We can complain about traffic, road construction. You just name it. On and on and on. There's always good fodder for complaints. And so I was delighted to see in the scriptures lots of complaining today. Our first reading is the story of the prophet Elijah. Elijah, who in full toddler meltdown mode says, "I'm angry enough to die. I'm going to sit under this tree and die." Isn't that great? I just love that. Why is he complaining? He is complaining because God has chosen and called him to be a prophet at the very worst time to be a prophet. Not that the prophets usually had a really good time. You know, when Israel was doing great, there wasn't that much need for prophets. It was usually when they were on the wrong track that God would appoint prophets to shake them up. And so Elijah has come along just in time for the worst king and queen in the history of the people of Israel, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Jezebel, who to this day is a byword for nastiness, but Ahab was just as bad. They were trying to kill Elijah, and Elijah was on the run and feeling a little put upon, feeling a little overwhelmed, feeling like, "Why, God, if you're so powerful, is it all up to me?" And so he was complaining. And I resonate with that, because often when I'm complaining, it's because I am feeling put upon. I'm feeling that the weight of the world is on my shoulders, and I don't like it. Sometimes I have appropriate responsibility, and I'm just whining about it. But a lot of times, to be honest, I take upon myself more responsibility than I need to, more than I should. I carry the weight of the world. I worry about all kinds of stuff, some of which I have a part to play in. I mean, honestly, when I think about my worries about the environmental situation, I drive a car. I participate in, you know, my little part of that environmental degradation, but it's not all up to me, right? I have a piece of it, but sometimes I worry about the whole thing, and that weight can be crushing, and I start to feel put upon. Maybe you do as well. Maybe you do stuff around the house without really asking for help and then wonder, why is no one helping? We have in our family, Susan can confirm this, there's a kind of volume in the kitchen, right? That's a sign of when someone is feeling put upon. If it's quiet in the kitchen, everything's fine. But when the rattling of pots gets to a certain decibel level, it means that someone better get in there quick and start doing something to help, right? I'm not wrong about that. I don't know if we've really... It's dangerous to preach with your family, I gotta say. So that's Elijah. Elijah's complaining because he's feeling this terrible weight of responsibility. There is no other godly prophet left. He's the only one, and he's feeling overwhelmed. And God answers that by reminding Elijah that he is not in charge of the world. And as Elijah is just feeling exhausted and overwhelmed, God appoints, and I love this, an angel to feed him, to cook him a little meal. In fact, two meals, and to give him strength for the journey. specific about Elijah in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights? Remind you of anything? Someone else who went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be ministered to by angels, to be reminded of his vocation and sent on his mission. Of course, Jesus. What about the other complaining? Well, there's lots of reasons to complain, and one of the reasons we find in the gospel that people are complaining about Jesus. You know, Jesus provoked a lot of responses. A lot of people saw in him the vision of God's kingdom, the presence of something divine. They followed him and went with him because they heard in his voice the voice of God. They saw in him the manifestation of God's presence, but not everybody felt that way. A lot of people were deeply threatened by Jesus because he undermined the structures of their power and authority. For Jewish leaders, they had lined things up in a certain way, and now Jesus was upsetting the apple cart, and they were complaining mightily, upset with Jesus for claiming things that no one should claim. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. That's blasphemy. That violates the law. We cannot abide that kind of talk by this kind of person. And so they complained about Jesus. And I gotta say, I don't want to, but I also resonate with this. Because I also don't like it when people don't do what I want them to do. Whether it's other drivers on the road, or people in church, or wherever it is, if people don't do what I want, I get frustrated. A lot of anger comes from this need to be in control of other people. Think about that. It's a pointless kind of anger. Have you in your life ever truly been able to control anybody else? It's hard enough to control ourselves, let alone someone else, and yet we are frustrated by that lack of power and control. And that's why people were complaining about Jesus. He was upsetting their need to have control and proper order and things the way they've always been. We've never done it that way, Jesus. How dare you do something different, say something new, bring about a different kind of relationship with God? We struggle in our lives, I think, with all kinds of dissatisfaction. When I was right out of college, I was teaching at a high school, and of course, I was a high school teacher, you'll get this, with no certification, with no real training. I had a bachelor's in history, and I was put in charge of children teaching them. I didn't know how to write an exam. I didn't know how to grade. I didn't know any of that. But I still had plenty of opinions about how that school was run. At the age of 21, with no real training, I knew a lot better than the headmaster how that school should run. And I complained all the time. Looking back, I think the school was pretty poorly run. I don't think I was entirely wrong. But, you know, all that complaining did something to me. I got together with other like-minded teachers, and we would go down to the pub, and we would sit around and just marinate in our complaining. That does something to your heart. It does something to your soul. After about 9 months of that, I had turned or was turning into a different person. I'm normally pretty sunny. I'm normally pretty optimistic, but I had become very negative. I was imbibing bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and evil speaking. St. Paul would really recognize that person in looking at me and say, hey, I've seen you before. In fact, you are present in most of the churches that I'm trying to start here in Asia Minor, and it's not going so well because of all this bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking. It's poisonous. The more we practice complaining, the more we poison ourselves and turn ourselves away from the path that God desires for us. What happened to me at that school, and I don't know, I thought back a lot. I don't know who it was. Perhaps it was the chaplain at the school. Maybe it was just God working in my soul. I looked in the mirror one day, and I didn't recognize myself, and I said, I've got to change this. And I couldn't change the school. I couldn't change the headmaster. I couldn't change the policies. But I could take some positive action. And so that next September, when I was back to teach, I volunteered to be a mentor for the interns. I had started that school as an intern, and they had hired a whole bunch of new interns because they're cheap. And I thought, I don't want these guys and gals to have the same experience I did, but I can do something. I can be their friend and mentor. I can be a shoulder to cry on when the teaching just gets overwhelming. I can be someone they can go to and give them some, not advice, but just friendship. And I did. And that made a lot of difference. Not for them, I'm sure, but it did for me. Because I was doing something positive, even in a small way, that changed my bitterness into positive energy and made my own soul a little bit better. We have in our scriptures lots of opportunities for how to live in a healthy way, and Paul in Ephesians gives us some great stuff. Turn away from this bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, and instead practice kindness. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. The world is hard and angry and turns us into defensive and angry people, but don't let it. Be tender-hearted. Even if your heart gets bruised, be tender-hearted and kind. Forgiving one another. Ooh. Just as you have been forgiven. The power to do this, to turn around from this anger and bitterness, only comes from the gift of God, who says to us, yes, I want you to forgive, but only because I have first forgiven you. Yes, I want you to love, but only because I have loved you. Yes, I want you to practice loving kindness all the time, because that's how I am with you. I'm feeding you with the very bread that you need to sustain your new way of living. I'm not leaving you alone to do this. I'm with you. I'm sending you angels. I'm feeding you with the bread of heaven. I'm giving you my son as a gift, as a teacher, and as a presence to be with you always. In our psalm today, we have what for me is the concluding thought about this, the way we practice this way of living in a world which always is trying to tear us out of it. And that is this idea that the praise of God, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. So I got all this stuff in me, all this wrath and anger and complaining, and it's still there. It's inside. It always wants to come out. But you know what? My mouth is busy. My mouth is too busy to say those negative things because I'm too busy praising God and blessing God. If we're practicing that kind of speech, that kind of thought, that kind of action, we actually prevent ourselves from having room for all that, I'll say it, crap, to come out. That's why we go to church. That's why we practice prayer as a daily habit. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we immerse ourselves in this Christian habit-forming life, to give us the capacity to remember God's presence, God's call, and to give us the capacity to turn away from all that negativity. The world will always want us to go negative, but we don't have to do it. We are empowered by the God who loves us, inspired by the Holy Spirit within us, fed by the Lord who saves us and gives us this meal, this bread of heaven, to sustain us in this earthly pilgrimage.